special edition. Indeed, we are in St. Louis. We are at the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, in fact. This is the 8th District. It includes, parts of Missouri and Illinois and Arkansas and Tennessee and Kentucky, and I think I've left out one, but I just want to give you a flavor of where we are. A conference room, we're looking over the Mississippi River. I can see a Cargill grain elevator over there, and President Jim Bullard, who kindly invited the Hayes Advantage to come to the St. Louis Fed to our entire three-hour show, is with us. We have two prominent economists waiting, listening to the interview with me, so they can join us after Jim finishes to talk about what Jim said in these issues and from a market standpoint, from an academic standpoint. Jim, on quantitative easing, it seems like, you know, it's been going on for a while, but there's been this little groundswell of discontent that it seems to me has suddenly come to a head. During the G20 meetings and leading up to, there was all kinds of foreign criticism, Chinese leaders, Russian leaders. The Brazilians have complained about it. Then an open letter from some Republican policymakers, investor types, that was in the Wall Street Journal the day before yesterday, I guess it was.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about those separately.
Okay.
Because I would see the foreign country criticism as sort of separate
well,
from
then let's start
the internal debate.
Let's start with the internal debate, because I think this is what strikes me. And again, when you see these cute cartoon videos on YouTube where they have one big-headed cartoon character talking about the quantitative ease with the other one, it's out there. It's not just in the Wall Street Journal. A lot of people are going, what is the Fed doing? And they some of them seem afraid and some of them seem angry. Does this surprise you?
I think this is a late, you know, so you sort of have latecomers to this debate. This debate's been going on since August, and I think people that follow financial markets had debated it thoroughly, and there wasn't much of a surprise at the time of the announcement. But after the announcement, I think you brought in a whole new wave of people that, you know, were maybe a step further away from financial markets, and they're wondering, what is this new policy? So I think we have to do a better job of trying to communicate with that group.
Okay, well, let's communicate with them. the Fed has said it wants more inflation. And I think critics are taking you seriously. And they're saying, why in the world does the Fed want more inflation? Inflation is a threat.
Well, again, you have to know the numbers. And, you know, CPI inflation measured from a year ago is running at 80 basis points right now, 0.8%. Other measures of inflation are all down, measured from, you know, 1 year ago. So there's been a disinflation trend in the U.S. during 2010, even though the economy has been recovering and, you know, maybe not as fast as we want it to, but it has been recovering. But still we have this disinflationary trend. So with interest rates at zero and inflation falling, you have to take into account that you might get into a situation like Japan got into over the last 15 years. Their policy rate hasn't been off zero for at least a decade and a half, and they've had a mild deflation during that time period. Not a deflationary spiral, just a mild deflation. This exacerbated their problems in land values and in real estate values, and I don't think the U.S. should get into that situation. So I think our first order of business is to avoid that outcome, get inflation back toward our implicit inflation target of 2%, and then we can go back to our normal arguments about, you know, whether the economy picking up fast enough or not, and you know, how to possibly at some point in the future bring the interest rate off zero and start ordinary monetary policy again.
I pull that off without creating another bubble. We just had a big housing bubble when the Fed kept rates, as some would say, too low, too long. How do you avoid another bubble?
Well, I think bubbles are that's a you know, very important consideration and something we should worry about and watch very closely. I think the last time we actually had two bubbles in the U.S. In the 90s, we had a tech bubble, mm-hmm. and in the most recent decade, we've had the housing bubble. So it is a concern, and how to react to those bubbles, how to adjust policy is a big issue. How to prevent them is a big issue, but for right now, we've got this disinflation trend in the U.S., and you've got some threat of getting into a Japanese-style malaise. I don't think anybody would be happy if we got into that kind of situation. So I think the first order of business is to avoid that.
I've got some other breaking news on the Bloomberg terminal. not just from Jim Bullard. We've got some headlines on Jim, of course. But Eric Rosengren, who's president of the Boston Fed, says he fully, that's a quote, sees completing the $600 billion bond purchases. Let's go back to the question I just asked you, Jim. The economy is getting to get stronger. Is there a possibility the Fed would not complete the $600 billion bond purchases?
Well, we've said we'll review the program as the data comes in, so I wouldn't want to prejudge, you know, what we're going to do. I was not for the saying $600 billion up front. I was for a meeting-by-meeting approach to this. I think the economy would have to improve a fair amount before you'd start talking about not completing the $600 billion, so before the whole committee would be willing to pull back on that. So, but it does say review, so we're going to review, and I think what private sector participants in the market should do is map out their own forecast about where they think the economy's going, how fast progress is going to be toward maximum sustainable employment and inflation at target, and assess for themselves how they think the purchases are going.
Is this, you and I were talking about the Fed maintaining credibility. Is this part of the Fed maintaining its credibility is being flexible enough to say, hey, if we're surprised on the upside, we got to stop quantitative easing?
Well, you know, what you want is some kind of rule that looks like a Taylor rule. And when we're doing the ordinary interest rate targeting, we'd be adjusting the short-term interest rate in response to economic events. And we would not say, if we're doing interest rate targeting, we would not say, oh, we're going to for sure do 300 basis points or something. We would never say that. We would say that we're going to start a tightening cycle, or we're going to start an easing cycle, and we're going to let the data come in and tell us how we should adjust going forward. So I think we should do the same type of thing with the quantitative easing program. But what I will say is, so far the economy's been pretty sluggish, and inflation so far has been going down, not back toward target. So far we've got we've got some ways to go before we're making progress.
Okay, Jim Buller, president of St. Louis Fed, an exclusive interview on the Hayes Advantage here on Bloomberg Radio. We'll be back to ask Jim more about the big challenges facing the Fed.